We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And please come join us on June 17th for our next community meal. This is open to all our community free of charge. We are having tacos, nacho cheese and chips, and cookies. So please come and join us at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour, from 5 to 7 p.m. for good food and fellowship. And again, our radio was sponsored today by Troy and Terry Nicholson in honor of Ellery's birthday. Okay. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians 1:15-23, followed by Angel's sermon, The Eyes of Your Heart. I don't know if I can see it. Is that it? Okay. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He hath called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God's word for God's people.
Thanks be to God. There are a few prayers in the Bible that I absolutely adore. Today's text is one of them, along with Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19. Both of these passages, St. Paul is asking that his readers receive spiritual insight and wisdom and understanding. In chapter 3, he's asking that we would know how wide, how deep, how long is the love of God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is one that I give to all the women at the jail when I'm ministering at the jail, because I feel like this is what they need to know. They need to know just how deeply the Father loves them. They need to know the power that is found in this scripture. It says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is His love. May you experience the love of Christ that is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Today's passage began with the Apostle Paul thanking God for the people at the church in Ephesus and for their love for all of God's people. I, too, thank God for this church, Trinity, and her love for all of God's people. I absolutely love watching, seeing that love enacted every Sunday morning when I see you all visit and get together. When I see you all pray for one another. Last night, I sent out a prayer request for Kathy. And in it, everyone responded that they were praying, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that everybody was coming together in prayer. I love that about this church. And last night, I got to see several of us come together, all with our own unique personalities, all serving God together, making people feel comfortable, feeding them. People stayed. Matthew and Catherine came. They came before we ever even began and stayed until it was just about over. I love seeing how the love of Jesus Christ is communicated and enacted in this church. It deeply touches my heart. John Edwards, a self-proclaimed psychic and medium, with his own TV show, mind you, he professes to communicate with the dead in his studio audience. He believes that when we die, we cross over. That's nothing earth-shattering to Christians. We believe that too. The difference is how and why we believe what we believe. We believe that when we die, we cross over too. But we cross over for all of eternity, and we cross over to either heaven or hell. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our inheritance awaits us in heaven with Him. If we have refuse that, we are forever separated from the love of God. I believe that the moment our earthly tent, our body expires, the moment that we draw that last breath, we take up residence in heaven with the great cloud of witness, with all of our loved ones, with the angels worshiping God. You know, I love that song. I can only imagine. And I believe that I will be struck silent. I will fall upon my knees. And I will just revel in the glory of God. But this guy, John Edwards, and others like him, they have a lot of different crazy beliefs. Psychics, mediums, spiritualists, those who contact the dead, they're dangerous. They're scary. My family messed around with a lot of that stuff, and there is real power. A lot of them are charlatans. They know just enough psychology to be dangerous. They know enough psychology to draw out from you what you want to hear, or maybe what you fear hearing. But there is real power in some of them. And that power is not of God. That power took the life of King Saul. We are told in Leviticus 19, we're told not to contact mediums, psychics, necromancers, that it will make us unclean. When my boy died in Marion, Indiana, at that point in time, they were running rampant with tarot cards and Ouija boards and things like this. And my kids had experimented with some of it. But for the grace of God, they did not get caught up in it too deeply. But those things can open evil doors. They can end up creating strongholds in our life that can become generational curses. We can have that visit unto the third and the fourth generation. There is great power that is not of God. King Saul went and visited the witch of Endor and called up Samuel. And to that witch's great surprise, Samuel actually came up. But he chastised King Saul, and as a result of breaking the law, King Saul was no longer king. There is power out there that is not of God. Power to destroy. The Bible reveals that psychic experiences are real, but they are demonic. And that includes tarot cards, Ouija boards, psychic readings, and things of this nature. Deuteronomy 18 warns us that anyone practicing divination, sorcery, witchcraft, spells, and consulting the dead will come with a great cost. The Word of God tells us there will come a time when there will be a great falling away. And beloved, I believe we are living in that time now. A great falling away from the church. Every church across the nation, no matter what denomination, is experiencing that. And a falling away of morality. I believe that we are experiencing that as well. Have no fear, for our God is still with us. Listen once again to the prayer of St. Paul. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That same power, that mighty strength, raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be heard over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. There is life after death. And the whole concept of reincarnation just makes me laugh. Our God spoke the universe, the solar system, all the planets, humankind, animals, plants, everything into being. He spoke it into being. He breathed life into Adam. He caused Adam to sleep and took a rib from him and created Eve. With that kind of power, why on earth would he need to recycle souls? He could just speak a new one into being. Today, in our society, we tend to believe everything that we see on the media. We are in danger of this society falling away from God. And we have been called. We have been called to hold to the purposes of God, that we would help bring everyone into the fold. Some years ago, at Columbia University, there was a great football coach named Lou Little. Lou was holding practice And he was having young men try out for the football team. Along came a boy. And this boy gave it his very best. But he just wasn't very good. But Lou noticed something special about this young man. This young man had a love of life. This young man was extremely enthusiastic. Nothing could dampen his spirits. And Lou thought, well, he's not very good, but he would be so good for the rest of the team. So he decided that he would let the young man play football. He might sit on the bench, but he would encourage the rest of the team. Well, as time went by, he grew to love and admire this young man, especially when he would see the young man walking arm in arm with his father all across the university campus. And every Sunday morning, they were seen at the university chapel. He knew that this young man and his father had a great bond. And that bond was grounded in faith. And then one day, Coach Little got a phone call. And the phone call was telling him that the young man's father had died and asking him to please go and inform the young man. He took a deep breath. And he went and informed the young man. He prayed with him and he helped him to pack. The young man went home, attended his father's funeral, and came back the next week. Coach Little went to him and asked him how he was doing and said, is there anything whatsoever that I can do for you? I'll do it. The young man said, as a matter of fact, there is. You can let me start the game next week. Coach Little thought, oh no, not him. We're already losing. We're behind and we're up against a great team. No. But then he remembered his promise. Anything that I can do for you. So he said, all right, you can start. And he thought to himself, well, I'll let him start. He can do a few plays and then I'll yank him out. To everyone's surprise, Coach Little put this young man in who had not played all season long. And the boy was on fire. He was terrific. He played inspired football throughout the entire game. The coach was fascinated. Everyone was shocked. Coach left him in the entire game. And when the game was over, the coach went to him and said, son, what got into you today? You were amazing. You were so much different than practice. The young man said, you know, I have a secret. You saw that my father came to visit me every week, at least once a week. But what you don't know is my father was blind. Today was the first day that he saw me play. I gave it my all for him. He could see with the eyes of his heart. And you know, when we use the eyes of our heart, when we use our faith, we can conquer anything. Sometimes in life, we are over our head by the things that happen to us in life. But when we rely on our faith, when we use the eyes of our heart, we can overcome anything. In today's text, St. Paul tells us three things we can know by seeing through the eyes of our heart. First, the hope to which he called us. Second, the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. And that's the crux of today's message. That we all have that glorious inheritance. The same inheritance that Christ Jesus had. The same power that raised him from the grave. And third, the immeasurable greatness of his power. Hope, inheritance, and power. Some pretty amazing gifts. You know, Jesus Christ prepared his disciples in the upper room. He told them that he was going to a place and preparing a room for them in his Father's mansion. We believe that there is life after death because Scripture tells us so, because Jesus Christ told us so. He told the thief upon the cross, "You will be with me today in paradise." There are people who believe that we lie in the ground, sleeping until Christ comes back. I don't believe that. And I base it on that scripture. You will be with me today in paradise. We will cross over. But our crossing over is for all of eternity. And that we must take seriously. The hope to which we have been called by Jesus' sacrifice, we have been spared, and we have been given a great hope. We don't know the number of days that we have left. We don't know the number of days that our loved ones have left. When we're asked to pray for someone, we need to take that seriously. When God pricks our hearts and tells us to talk to someone about his son Jesus, take that opportunity right then and there. We have a hope. Living or dying, we have a hope. We have a hope right here and now that Jesus Christ is always with us, and he will be with us until the end of the age, and that he loves us and strengthens us. And we have a hope there. We have a hope of eternity spent with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We have no need to despair. Yet we have a high priest who understands our despair. He understands our temptations. He understands our trials. And he strengthens us and loves us through them. When we focus on the things that we can see with our heart, we are empowered. But when we focus on the things that we can only see with our eyes, that we can only feel with our body, we sometimes give up hope. When we think only with our minds, our thoughts can be defeating. But when we look with our hearts, there is always hope. The riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints. We have been grafted into the family of Jesus Christ. We receive the same inheritance that he does. What person has not dreamed? Now, I know I've done this one. What person has not dreamed of some long-lost, distant relative that was wealthy and died and left us money? I know I have. Have you spent it in your head? I have. Of course, mine's always altruistic. Things that I would do, no. We do indeed dream of doing great things. We have probably thought about different things that we could do for the Lord numerous times. Yet, we have already been named in a will that is rich and beyond our greatest understanding. And we rarely think of that. If we look at life through the eyes of our hearts, things look different. What makes a person successful? What makes a person wealthy, even what makes a person healthy, is different when we look through the eyes of our heart. When we look at it as being empowered by God, as being part of Christ's inheritance, we are all wealthy people because we have inherited the riches that our brother Jesus Christ has left for us. The immeasurable greatness of his power. We are an intelligent life form most of the time. We're human beings and we're fallible. Sometimes we act with that intelligence that God has given us, and sometimes we choose not to. We know that there is a time and place for everything, and that everything has its limits. As Christians, we confess with our mouths that God has created the entire universe. He has created this planet and everything on it. God has no limits. God's power is immeasurable. Then, in the vastness of this concept of the Almighty, limitless God, we believe that He cares for each and every one of us. He saw us and knew us intimately as we were being formed in the womb. He knows every hair on our heads, and there is nothing in life that surprises Him. It might surprise us. It might take us off guard. It might have us draw in a deep breath. It might cause us to cry and to fear. But nothing surprises our good and gracious and mighty God. He foreknew everything that was going to happen to us. But yet He tells us to trust Him and only trust Him. That the only way we should seek knowledge of the future is through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and nothing else. Because He wants us to rely upon Him and to trust Him. The great and powerful God who created everything that is, created each and every one of us, and He loves us completely. We are each unique and different to Him, and He knows us. We are as unique as each different snowflake in a vast snowstorm. He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus might experience everything on this earth that we go through, so that Jesus would completely and fully understand all our temptations and all our trials. And now Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God and advocates for each one of us. He says, I know that one there. I know his heart. I know her. I know what she is trying to do for me. And every time that we fall short of the mark, for all have sinned, Jesus Christ advocates for us and says, I know where this one comes from. I know how this one came to be the way they are. This one is mine, Father. Forgive them. I absolutely love that. We will understand better by and by. I love that song too. In the 1800s, there was a renowned Polish rabbi named Chang. An American tourist went to visit him, to sit at his feet, to learn from him. And he walked into his simple home. And in that home, all he found was a bed, a light, a table, and a chair. And he said, Rabbi, where is your furniture? And the rabbi says, well, where is yours? And the man said, I'm just passing through. I am just a visitor here. And the rabbi smiled and he said, exactly, as am I. no treasure gathered here on earth means anything to me. All of the glorious riches of heaven are mine. As you pass through this world, I pray that each and every one of you will see with the eyes of your heart, and that you will know the hope to which you were called, the riches and the glorious inheritance among the saints, and the immeasurable greatness of his power in Christ alone.